Today is the auspicious day of Shayan Ekadasi. Actually, the Ekadasi Tithi was yesterday, and the Smartas celebrated yesterday. But the Vaishnavas, Ram Bhaktas, Krishna Bhaktas, Vishnu Bhaktas, and devotees of Radha Krishna Yuga, like ourselves, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we celebrate today the Mahadwadasi, because it's a consideration of overlapping tithis. So it's considered, it's called Vida or something. Vida means some contamination, overlapping. But this, all these Ekadasis are some Mahatmyam, some history, and generally it's a narration of Lord Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, speaking to Yudhisthira about the glories of these different Ekadasis. So part of the the Niyam for observing the proper Ekadasi Vrata is not only to restrain one's senses from ordinary eating, and in some cases sleeping when we do Jagran, but also to increase our devotion to the Lord, which is developed or nourished by Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing about Krishna's Nam, Rup, Guna, Leela, and the glories of his devotees, and the glories of himself and his Parishads, and chanting their glories. So generally, our Gurudev, whenever he was giving Pravachan, he would precede the Pravachan with Kirtan, and give his Pravachan, then conclude the Pravachan with Kirtan. It's what we call a spiritual sandwich. Kirtan is the bread. It's a yeastless bread. It's not made with yeast. Spiritual bread. It rises on its own. Just like if we chant Hare Krishna, will rise automatically. We'll rise from Tamagun to Rajagun to Sattvagun and become Vishuddha Sattva. So this is the spiritual bread, is the Kirtan, and then the Seva or the other services are the matter inside that slices. Shayan Ekadasi. This is also called Deva Shayani or Padma. This is described in Bhavishyotara Puran. Yudhisthira asked Keshava, can you describe the sacred day and the glories and rules and regulations for observing this day? Krishna said to Yudhisthira, he glorified his devotee by saying, O maintainer of this world, everyone knows that Vishnu is the maintainer, generator, operator, and destroyer. The generator is Brahma, and the operator is Vishnu, the destroyer is Shiva. Mahesh, G-O-D, right? Generator, operator, destroyer, God. So everyone knows that God is the maintainer. Gotritve Vanarantata. It's a symptom for Sharanagati, Gotritve. Gotritve Varanam Tata, to accept that Krishna is my maintainer. This is the primary, this is the Surup Lakshana of Sharanagati. The main quality of surrender to God is to believe, firmly believe that God will maintain me, no matter what happens. Hell or high water, as they say. God will maintain me. If I just run into the forest with nothing, then God will somehow maintain me. If really a bhakta, ananya bhakta means devotion for nothing else. But if we have a little devotion, a little bhakti for God, Bhagavan bhakti, and a whole lot of bhakti for parivara bhakti, or family, kutumba bhakti, and that it's not really bhakti, but so-called affection for family, that won't save us, and that won't maintain us. Rather, that will drain us to zero, empty tank. This is the nature of families. They drain, they sap your energy to zero. Sap the wife's energy, sap the husband's energy. This is the nature. So he's glorifying his devotee because he's the emperor. He's a samrat. So the king is considered Naradeva. He's a representative of God, God among men, Naradeva. So he's upholding the laws of God and engaging everyone in the world in yajna, sacrifice, beginning with himself. He performs so many rajasuya yajnas and other auspicious homes and sacrifices for the benefit of the world, the peace, security, and proper functioning of the seasons. So in one sense, the king is also a maintainer. He maintains the praja. The king is sometimes called Prajapati. Pati means the father, maintainer, lord of the praja. And the king is not only maintainer of the world, but maintainer of the praja. He's called Prajapati because you could say Lokapati. We have this word also, Lokapati. Lokapati, or you say Lok. Lokapati means the maintainer of the world, literally. But the world is full of praja, living entities. Praja means actually living entities. Prakrishnarena janma. Those that take birth in any special way, some living entities are born from egg Some are from direct, some are from vapor, water, etc. So the king actually looks after all living entities, just like we heard in Bombay. The king is looking after the trees. The king is numbering the trees. The king is putting a number on the trees. And if you cut any tree down, you have to pay 10,000 rupees to the government of Bombay, because the trees are numbered. So the king is protecting the trees, but he's not protecting the cows. The cows and bulls are getting run over and slaughtered and stolen and massacred, because the government's not numbering them and protecting them, but at least they're numbering the trees and protecting them. So this is a praja. A tree is a praja. And the tree, the human being, the dog, the cat, everyone, they're praja. The deer, everyone was protected. So he's glorifying the king as a maintainer of the world. Oh, Yudhisthira. This question you're asking me was once asked from Narada Muni, by Narada Muni to Brahma. So please hear from me the wonderful history which Brahma narrated to Narada Muni in his reply. It's very interesting. Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he's acting like a lawyer. He's citing the previous cases. The lawyer comes before the judge and he says, "Listen, Your Honor, in 1957 there was a similar case, the state versus Hingorani, in 1957. And this is a property case. And in this case, the state ruled in favor of Hingorani. And he got a 2 crore judgment. So if you look at the parameters and conditions of this case, terms and conditions applying, you'll see that this case is very similar to the case of Hingorani versus the state in 1957. Therefore, I adjure that you rule in a similar way." Like this lawyer talk. So, Krishna's acting like a lawyer. He's not saying, Yudhisthira, ask a direct question, tell me about this Ekadasi. So being Bhagavan, being all-knowing, omniscient, God is omniscient, all-knowing, all the Vedas come from his breathing. Vishnu is only one Purusha avatar of Krishna. And Vishnu exhales, Mahavishnu exhales, and all the Vedas come from his breath. When we exhale, nothing but smell comes from our breath. Bad odor. And we have to chew dentine and peppermints to flavor our breath. But when the Lord exhales, the Vedas come. All the Shrutis come. And then they're expanded into the Smritis and other corollary Vedic literatures. But at any rate, such divine breath he has. So certainly he's omniscient, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. These are the qualities of Bhagavan, of God. The absolute truth, the ultimate reality. The source, the ocean of consciousness from which everyone's floating in that ocean of consciousness. All living entities are simply floating, just like this body is floating on the soul. When the soul is withdrawn, the body's finished. So everything is supported, floating on the ocean of consciousness. So he's saying that rather than just speaking extemporaneously, which he's certainly entitled to do, Bhagavan is taking a humble position, Trinadapi Sunichi Natur. He's putting his head at the feet of the Mahajans. Mahajana Yena Katasapanta. Mahajana Yena Katasapanta. He's following the path of the Mahajans. Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Rajarsha Vidu Sakalina Mahata Yoganasha Parantapa. He's saying that I've established Parampara in this world. There's 4 major Paramparas, and I myself am following Parampara. I'm not speaking out of context or out of order. Sometimes a judge hits the thing, out of order, sit down, out of order. Case adjourned, court adjourned, or whatever. So Krishna's not speaking out of order. He's following the previous, he's acknowledging Brahma. Because Brahma's in charge of a sampradaya, Brahma sampradaya. And Lakshmi's in charge of another sampradaya. And Shiva, Rudra sampradaya, Sri sampradaya, Brahma sampradaya. And? Kumaras. 4 Kumaras. So Krishna, he's bowing his head. He's bowing his head to Brahma. And who is Brahma? He's simply his child. It's a child of one of his expansions. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is an expansion of Mahavishnu. And from his navel grows a Padma, a lotus, and he's Padmanabha. Padmanabha from the navel comes out to Padma. Padmanabha is the name for Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And on top of that lotus, Lord Brahma appears. And then Krishna provides the Mahatattva. Vishnu provides the Mahatattva and the Pradhan, all the elements of creation. And Brahma takes those elements and builds a house, makes a body. So he's called the secondary creator. The primary creator is Lord Vishnu. So, but he's saying, listen, this is what Brahma said to Narada Muni, his first shishya. This is the first guru, actually the second, first guru, first disciple and first guru in this material world. And he receives spiritual knowledge from Vishnu. So he's saying, this question you asked was already asked. Because as they say, there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever you've asked has been asked a million times. You can imagine how patient teachers are. Have you ever been a teacher? And then you have one crop of students, one group of students, and they ask so many questions, and then they graduate, and the next group of students come, and they ask the same questions. And the teacher is so patient, he answers the same questions every year for 40 years. Fifth grade school teacher, or music teacher, or whatever. Or guru. Prabhupada gave countless lectures on you're not the body, dehino shunyata dehi. And certainly he was highly realized, soul, siddhamatma, pure devotee, premi bhakta, absorbed in ras. But he's answering the most basic questions over and over again. So this is a karuna, guru karuna, compassion of guru. Over and over, answered 1,000 questions asked and 1,000 questions re-asked. 1,000 questions asked, 1,000 questions answered, and re-asked and re-answered. So this question you asked, my dear friend Yudhisthira, has been already asked by Narada Brahma, and Brahma gave this answer. Please, Sunye. Once the great orator and best of the sages, Narada, asked Brahma, O Father, what is the name of the Ekadasi that occurs during the Shukla Paksha and Ashad Mass? Explain how I should observe this Ekadasi in order to please the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This, in fact, is the bottom line. Haritoshanam. Samsidhir Haritoshanam. This is in First Canto Bhagavatam. Samsidhir Haritoshanam. Whatever we do, whatever we engage in, it should be done for the pleasure. Samsiddhi. Samsiddhi Haritoshanam. The complete perfection. The complete perfection of all activities is to please God. Haritoshanam. Santosh. Satisfaction. Happiness. Fulfillment. This is the aim and objective of human life. This and nothing else. If you're doing that, you're rightly situated. Everyone else may frown at you. Everyone else may throw stones at you. Everyone else may castigate you and criticize you and ignore you and ridicule you. But if you're situated in Samsiddhi Haritoshanam, that's Siddhi. That's Samsiddhi. That's Sama. That's complete perfection. To be rightly adjusted to God. As one Acharya said, religion means proper adjustment with the environment. This is Dharma. Dharma means proper adjustment with the environment. Very interesting definition of Dharma. Well, you say Dharma. Dharma. Proper adjustment with the environment. Religion. In relation to God, obviously. The center. Trace the center out in everything. The center of everything is God. So if you can trace the center out, and whatever activity you're doing, whatever engagement with this group of people, here or there, anywhere, this activity, that activity, this place, that place, these people, those people, if you trace the line, trace the center line of all that endeavor and all those interactions and social intercourse, if you can trace it out to the center of existence is the absolute truth or God, then that's dharmic. What you're doing is dharmic. Dharmic. But if you can't trace, connect God to the center, you can't trace everything to the center of God or connect, make a connection, which is yoga. You can't connect it to Bhagavan, then it's adharmic. So, for example, someone says, let's go to the movies and watch this sex movie with all kinds of murders. Now, how will you draw that connection to God? You can't. So it's Maya. It's a plane of illusion, a plane of misconception. So therefore, one may not partake. Say, excuse me, sir, no thanks. What's with you? You don't like sex and violence? Well, some things I may like, but not presented like that. You know. So it's like this. So here he's explaining about this, that this is the purpose of observing Ekadasi, to please Vishnu. This is the purpose of, because observing Ekadasi, it comes under the Navavida Bhakti, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam, Archanam Bandhanam, Dasyam Sakyam Atmanavedanam. So this observance of Ekadasi, Jagran or Upavas, fasting or Nirjal Brat or Falahari Brat, the purpose is to please Krishna. So this is called Parasevanam. This comes under the category of Parasevanam. Massaging the feet, pleasing the feet, service to the feet. The feet is the agya. Feet is the agya, Vishnu agya, Guru agya, Bhagavan agya, the order of Guru. It is his order. He's saying any human being will observe my day. This is my day, Hari Vasara. Hari Vasara, Hari Vas. Ekadasi is called Hari Vasara. 11 days after Purnima, 11 days after Amavasya. So this is the Ekadasi. So it's pleasing to the Lord. Brahma said to Narad, There is no other vow in this material world which is sacred as the vow, which means brat, of Ekadashi. It is extremely necessary for human beings to observe the vow of Ekadashi in order to nullify their sinful reactions. A person who does not observe Ekadashi in this world certainly goes to hell. The Ekadashi that occurs in the Shukla Paksha Shad Mas is called Deva Shayani, or Padma Ekadashi. In order to please the Supreme Lord Rishikesh, one should follow this Ekadashi. In the Puran, there's a story of a saintly emperor named Mandata, who ruled the entire world. He was born in the Suryavamsh, like Lord Ram. He was extremely powerful, and he always stood up for the truth. This king maintained his subjects piously and affectionately, as if they were his own
children.
In this pious king's kingdom, what's the name of the king?
Mandata.
There was no famine, drought, or any kind of disease. Imagine. No AIDS. No VD. No heart disease. No insanity. All his subjects lived peacefully without any anxiety. Acha? Can you find one person nowadays who doesn't have anxiety? They were very prosperous. That means they had paisa. Lots of it. There was no wealth in the treasury of the king which was unlawfully earned. No Bofors. No Bofors? There's no Bofors. In this way, the king and his subjects happily spent their days. Haribo. After many years, due to providence and some sinful activities, there was no rainfall in his kingdom for 3 consecutive years. As a result, people got fried. People became afflicted with hunger due to lack of food, and they became full of anxiety. No bhojan, no bhajan. As a result of suffering from lack of food, sound familiar? The performance of various sacrifices and the studies of the Vedas came to a standstill. That's what I told you. No bhojan, no bhajan. They said, nobody study the Vedas came to standstill. Close the books. I don't have enough energy to open up the book. Damn king is starving us. Then all the subjects came before the king and appealed. In other words, what do they call it? Protest. O king, please hear our words, which will ultimately benefit us. Naturally, what else? Who else are you going to benefit? The water is addressed in the scriptures as Nara. The Supreme Lord resides in Ayan. Therefore, another name for the Supreme Lord is Narayan. Well, what do you know? Brilliant citizens. The Supreme Lord Vishnu is all-pervading in his form as clouds. He alone causes the rainfall. Food grains are produced from rain. Sounds like Bhagavad Gita. Anad Bhavati Bhutani Parjanat Anasambhava. Chapter 3, verse 27. All living entities subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains, and rains are produced from yajna, and yajna arises from prescribed duty. So the citizens are preaching to the king, in case he forgot something. Food grains are produced from rain, and living entities subsist on food grains. Did you know that, king? At present, due to a lack of these food grains, your subjects are suffering and decreasing. Means dying. Oh, best of kings, please find some remedy for our miserable condition and restore peace and prosperity among us. In other words, give us the food, Baba. Big Daddy. The king replied, whatever you have said is true. The food grains are considered Brahman. Everything is sustained by food grains. The living entities of the entire world subsist on food grains. It's clearly stated in the Puran and other scriptures,
that due to sinful activities committed by the king, he and the subjects must suffer. Although I cannot ascertain my fault through my own consideration and intelligence, I will nevertheless try my best for the benefit of my subjects. After speaking in this way, King Mandata gathered some of the principal armies, and after offering obeisances to Brahma, he entered the forest. Within the forest, the king regularly visited the ashram of the great sages and ascetics. Now they come by helicopter. No, I'm serious. I saw my own eyes. Rajiv Gandhi came by helicopter to Deorabhava. Deorabhava lives, there's samadhis across from Keshigat. There's a white thing that's, he took Jal Samadhi, lived to be 275, Deorabhava. And he used to come by helicopter and land over there in the fields, across from the Yamuna, right in the fields, and take Ashirvad. So now he's doing the same thing. King Mandata is going to seek Ashirvad from the sages. While wandering in the forest in this way, by the arrangement of providence, the king met the great sage Angira Rishi, the son of Brahma. Sage Angira was as effulgent as Brahma, and all the four directions were illuminated by his effulgence. As soon as the self-controlled king saw him, immediately got down and offered dandavats at the feet of the sage. Jai Ho, Maharaj! Jai Ho! Dandavats! Dandavat! The king folded his hands. The king folded his hands and offered prayers. The sage reciprocated by blessing the king. Mangalam Bhagavan Vishnu, Mangalam Pundarikaksham, Mangalam Guru Dojam, Mangalayasana Hari, Akala Mrityuharanam, Sarvavyadi Vinashanam. Punar Janma Vijayate. Thereafter, the sage inquired from the king about the cause of the arrival, his arrival, and the well-being of his kingdom. The king replied, O Lord, I have been ruling my kingdom according to religious principles, but there has been no rainfall in my kingdom for the last 3 years. As a result, my subjects are suffering from various miseries. I have not been able to ascertain its cause in order to remove this cause. Today I have come to your holy feet. Kindly tell me, O sage, how my subjects can live peacefully and obtain auspiciousness. Sage Angira replied, O king, the present age of Satya Yuga is the best of the yugas. In this yuga, people worship the Supreme Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi. The fourfold principles, religious principles, dharma, art, kam, moksha, are manifest in this yuga. No one except the brahmanas are supposed to perform austerities in Satya Yuga. In spite of this standard, a shudra from America in your kingdom is undergoing austerity. As a result of this unlawful conduct, you are facing its consequence in the form of drought. Therefore, you should kill him and bring peace and prosperity to your kingdom. Haribo. Rishis don't fool around. Capital punishment. The king said, O great sage, it will be impossible for me to kill an innocent person who is engaged in performing tapa. Please instruct me in some other easy solution. Then the sage replied, O king, if this is the case, then observe Padma Ekadasi, or Devashayini Ekadasi. By the influence of this vow, certainly there will be rainfall in your kingdom. The Ekadasi awards all auspiciousness and perfection. It destroys all obstacles on the path to perfection. O king, you along with your subjects should observe the Ekadasi. After hearing the reassuring words of Angira Rishi, King Mandata offered his obeisances and returned to the palace. Then, at the auspicious time of Devashayini Ekadasi, the king and his family and all the subjects properly observe this auspicious Devashayini Ekadasi. By the influence of this Ekadasi, the rain poured down all over his kingdom. There was no more scarcity of water. Soon the entire kingdom flourished with food grains, and by the mercy of Lord Rishikesh, everyone lived happily ever after. Therefore, it is the duty of everyone to observe the sacred ecology, which awards happiness and liberation. By hearing and reading the glories of this ecology, all one's sinful reactions are destroyed. Destroyed, thank you. This ecology is also known as Vishnu Shaini Ecology. In order to please Vishnu and all the devotees, the devotees observe this ecology with special devotion. So, I want to see some special devotion. They do not endeavor for material enjoyments or liberation, rather they pray for Shuddha Bhakti to Vishnu. The famous vow of Chaturmasya begins from this ecology. Devotees observe the vow of Chaturmasya by hearing and chanting topics of the Lord for 4 months, beginning from the day when the Lord goes to bed, or today, until he wakes up in Uttani Ekadasi 4 months later. Yudhisthira said to Krishna, "O Krishna, please tell me how one should observe Vishnu Shaini Brat or Chaturmasya Brat." Krishna replied, "O King, when the sun remains in the sign of Cancer, then Sri Madhusudan, the Lord of the entire universe, goes to bed. And the sun goes to the sign of Libra, the Lord wakes up." The Chaturmasya begins. Aramba begins from today. One should after taking bath, one should dress Lord Vishnu in yellow garments, which we forgot. We dress him in red, which is the four ecology. Then he should make a bed and cover with white sheets and put the Lord to rest. First, he should bathe the Lord with Panchamrit, which we did by Manasik Puja. Then he should wipe the Lord's body with cloth and apply fragrant sandalwood paste, which we did. Then he should worship the Lord by offering incense, ghee, lamp, flowers with devotion, which we tried. One can begin observing Chaturmasya from today. A person who observes the vow of Chaturmasya while remembering Hari goes to Vaikuntha sitting on an airplane as effulgent as the sun. Anyone who cleans a temple and courtyard of the temple, decorates the courtyard with flowers and creepers, feeds the Brahmins. So you just did that. He bought a tree from Bombay, an 8-foot champak tree. You'll have darshan tomorrow. And you bought some other plants, verbena. That's verbena. That's the right one. And so you're both decorating the temple. And this is not only the temple, this is Leela Kunj. This is Nangamanji's Leela Kunj, where Radha and Krishna come and have Leela. So this is more than a temple. This is a temple of love. And the temple is all kinds of Aishwarya, but this is the most intimate, confidential, loving pastimes take place in Nikunj. It's called Nikunj. It means a very secret and confidential place of divine, intimate pastimes of Krishna and his consorts, gopis of Braj. Nikunj Lila. It's called Nibrita. Nibrita Nikunj. Nibrita Nikunj. Solitary, confidential place. Nibrita. So, and it's giving idea different things you can do. There's some sheets. You bought those sheets? Where are those sheets, Ekadasi? I need those sheets. By offering ghee lamps to the Lord during this vow, one can obtain fortune and prosper. And that will go on right now. Every 3 hours is supposed to offer, so we'll start at 9:30. One who chants Gayatri Mantra 108 times in the temple, that doesn't apply to all that. Anyway, tell so many things you can do. Don't sleep on a bedstead for 4 months. Eat once a day. Give up oil. If you give up oil, by giving up oil, it means no oil on your body, sesame oil, olive oil, mustard oil, any kind of oil. One becomes beautiful. And his enemies are destroyed. So that's interesting to think of. You can put ghee on your body, or eat ghee.